You're listening to the Street Smart Wealth Podcast, show number 244, and I'm so excited to bring you today's show. Part one of my interview with Adam and Michelle Carey, authors of the new book, Don't Be That Guy in Network Marketing, 21 Common Mistakes That Will Label You as That Guy, and it's your guide to network marketing etiquette. We cover some great stuff. It's a super fun interview, so sit back, relax, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready to take some notes so that you can make sure that you are not being that guy or that girl. Welcome to Street Smart Wealth, delivering everything awesome on how to profit in your PJs at home with the best of offline and social media marketing strategies. I'm your host, Jackie Ulmer, and each week I'll be sharing the solid, proven tips and training that I used to create a multi-million dollar income from home, as well as exciting interviews with other top income earners to help you be successful in your home-based direct sales and network marketing business. If you don't have the Profit in Your PJs report, grab it over at profitinyourpjsnow.com. Well, hello, hello, and welcome back to the Street Smart Wealth Profit in Your PJs podcast. Or welcome for the first time if maybe you're just now listening in. Either way, I'm thrilled to have you here. And if you've been a longtime listener to the show, you know that I love knowing where you are and what you're doing when you listen. So send me a tweet at Jackie Ulmer, and I'll give you a shout out on the show. And just would love to know that. It makes it a lot of fun. A couple of things. Gosh, I hope business is absolutely going crazy for you. I love this time of year. We've just started into April of 2016. And for me, as I record this anyway, I love this time of year because it's peak season. It's peak sponsoring season. People are out and about, they're ready, they're committed, they're focused, and I know my team is just going crazy, and I'm having so much fun with creating that team culture, creating that bond, and there's nothing quite like working with the team, you know? It's just my favorite part. I was last week up brainstorming with a good friend of mine, a network marketing colleague, and we've both been in the profession for about 22 years, and you know, we get together every so often, we talk every little bit, and we talk about things that are going on and different things like that. And we were both just saying how I love coaching, I love doing all of those things, but my favorite part of the network marketing business is building a team culture, building a bond with your own organization, people who you can really work with and work together and celebrate together and just have so much fun with. So I'm so appreciative for my team and just the fun that we're having. I just am so grateful, and I just can't speak highly enough for my team and everything that's going on. So I hope that you're feeling that way too. I hope that you're having some great success and you are really taking advantage of this peak season. If you're struggling a little bit, my coaching program is open. You can go to streetsmartwealth.com/coach. And book a couple sessions with me. Sometimes, you know, usually it doesn't take a whole lot to get you where you want to go. I always like to tell people my goal is not to get you into coaching and keep you there forever. The goal is to get you in, uncover what it is that's blocking you, and get you on your way to success in this profession. Because you can have wild success, but sometimes you just need a little bit of coaching and a little bit of help to get you there. And I would love to be that mentor and that coach for you. All right, so as I mentioned, I'm thrilled today to be interviewing Adam and Michelle Carey, who are the authors of the new book, Don't Be That Guy in Network Marketing. And they have such a fun story and such a great, they have great personalities, such a great wit as they wrote this book. And they really do a nice job of gently calling out for all of us those areas where we really want to do better and want to improve for the entire profession of network marketing. Now, like many people, they got involved in network marketing when their current careers kind of took them on a spiral downward. In 2008, when the housing market started to suffer, certainly around the nation in the U.S., but definitely in California where they live, a lot of people were foreclosing on homes, and Adam, having a career in luxury boat sales and that type thing, obviously that profession was affected as well as people foreclosed on homes and different things like that. And so they were introduced to network marketing, and like many people, certainly like me, they struggled to get their business off the ground immediately, but they did get it going. They're still with that same company today. And while it wasn't always easy for them, they had to wait tables and park cars and do a lot of those kind of things along the way to keep their family afloat, you know, to pay the bills and keep a roof over their head and that type thing. But they were smart enough to keep going in network marketing, work through the shortcomings and the pitfalls and all the mistakes that they had to make to get on the road to success. And now with a very, very successful business, they've been able to look back, see where they made mistakes, and work to correct those, and really have produced a beautiful book for all of us. If you haven't read it yet, I encourage you to go to jackiealmer.com/that guy and grab a book. You won't regret it, and you might see yourself in some of those chapters. And we're going to go through and highlight some of the best here as we go along. And you'll find the show notes over at jackiealmer.com/244. And this is going to be a three-part series, so stay tuned because we covered a lot of juicy stuff. Took us well over an hour. All right, so let's get to part one as I welcome Adam and Michelle Carey.
All right, so Adam and Michelle, welcome to the call. It's so great having you here on the show.
Thank you so much, Jackie. We're super excited to be able to share today.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Well, so before we get into talking about not being that guy or that gal in network marketing, obviously standard fare is most people want to know, who are you, where are you from, and how did you get involved in network marketing?
Sure, I'll jump in first. So we live in Sacramento, California. Michelle and I just celebrated 7 years of marriage, right? I'm looking at her.
Sure.
But we've also been in network marketing for 8 years. So we actually started our business while we were dating. We have a daughter that's about to turn 2 years old. And the reason network marketing made sense, I was involved in an industry that was suffered hard from the recession in 2007 and 2008. I used to sell boats. So when times were good, you know, sales were good. And then when folks started losing houses and jobs and companies were closing down, people weren't running to the dealership to finance a new toy. Michelle was working retail in the mall, and we just, like a lot of people, had way too much money. At the end of the money, I was doing side jobs, just really whatever I could find. And a lady called me. We weren't looking to start a business, but a lady called me to talk to me about an opportunity, and I was wide open. You know, my name had been getting around that I was looking for work. And she started to explain over the phone, Jackie, a network marketing business, and my radar sirens went off, you know, home-based business. Those are hobbies for soccer moms. And I was just like, I don't do those things. Didn't really know much about it. I just didn't think there was any money to be made. So I told the lady, no, thank you. And I thought that'd be the end of the conversation. And she really persisted. I don't think she heard a word I said. She was throwing up all over me every fact and detail and just pie chart she could come up with. And about 10 minutes later, I hung the phone up on her and thought that would be the end of it. Well, she called back with a little bit more spice, and she was fired up. She was yelling at me, I'm your mother. How could you do that to me? And so Mom was the one that actually introduced us to network marketing. And here's a quick training tip is for men, if you're trying to recruit men, she offered to buy me dinner, and Michelle could come too. So I figured that was a free date. You know, we were dating at the time. And the rest is history. Once we saw it, it was a no-brainer. It made sense. We had a few obstacles in our way, just coming up with the money. We, you know, credit cards were maxed out. But, you know, there comes a time when your desire outweighs your excuses and you just know that you have to do something different. So we made the decision one time to partner with our company. And there's a lot more to the story, which we're happy to share. But it's just been an incredible journey, 8 years, just a lot of learning lessons. Things haven't always gone as fast and accelerated like we wanted them to, but we've learned so much along the way that I wouldn't change one thing about our story. And I'd say the biggest perk now is that we get to actually be at home with our daughter. She's not with us right now, which is a good thing because she'd probably be interrupting this call. But, you know, paid off 7 credit cards, making memories with the family, and just really excited for, you know, what this industry's done for us and it's doing for others. So that's just a quick overview of our story.
That's fantastic. Now, Michelle, how did you feel about that?
Well, the funny thing is, you know, as Adam mentioned, when we were introduced to the company, we just started dating, and I wasn't really interested in joining network marketing either. I dabbled a little bit while in college, but was very immature to actually recognize what I had my hands on. And so I really just joined his business because I wanted him to continue to date me. And so over time, I just really started to learn, and my eyes were open to how amazing this profession is, just because you get to leverage average people like Adam and I who didn't have the investment to start a traditional business or skills. We were able to come in and learn and make money while we're learning. And just to elaborate on the story, within 2 years, we're both able to quit our full-time jobs. I had racked up 7 large credit cards working at the mall. It's not really great if a shopaholic works at the mall. It's a little bit dangerous, and that was me. So I racked up a lot of credit card debt, and we were able to pay that off. And we just love the lifestyle freedom that we are able to afford as young parents, and we're just really thankful that we took that chance. We looked at it. We put aside all of our, misconceptions, and I just can't imagine if we continue to say no and we didn't open up to it, how different our lives would be and how much more stressful it would be, because I don't believe that we would have had been able to create freedom.
So did you have a very specific, because 2 years, that's pretty good. We like to tell people it's a 2 to 5 year plan, but the reality of it is most people obviously don't take advantage of that or don't make that a reality, but you did. So what did that 2 years look like in terms of building the business?
Oh, man.
You mentioned it didn't go as fast as you hoped that it did, but that's pretty good. Most people would trade places with
it. Yeah, definitely. Well, we did several things to make it go faster, and our mentor really, helped us make these tough decisions, because she really wanted us to think about the short-term sacrifice for long-term gain. So as far as lifestyle goes, we got rid of anything that we didn't absolutely need. So our expenses were low as it could possibly be. And we just pretty much slept, ate, breathed our business. We really didn't have a lot of room for a social life. And we were just constantly at training, trying to learn, sharpen the saw, and just working our business at meetings several times a week. And so we had to take that period of time and truly focus. And we're willing to do that because our mentor's son, who was about the same age as us, he was completely free. So we already saw the end game. And we're just said to ourselves, even if it took us longer, maybe even twice as long as him, it'd still be worth it. And so, it's just those two things, getting rid of the things that you absolutely don't need. We actually got rid of our TV and cable, and we never got it back, and that was one of the best decisions that we've ever made. And then just really put the pedal to the metal for, a short period of time.
One of the other things that we did, Jackie, was one of the benefits is we didn't have other options. Like, we weren't already comfortable. We were already struggling, so the fact that it was, at the time, our only option was probably a blessing, because sometimes if you have too many options, it can create confusion, and it can kind of dull down an opportunity. Maybe it doesn't look as good. And so what we did is our company was actually only operating in a couple states. We lived in California. The closest market was Texas, and after we visited Texas, the corporate office, and actually talked to some people, we just got fired up to move to go home and pack up our bags. And we actually sold everything that didn't fit in the pickup truck, which is one of the ways, that we kind of eliminated the distractions. And we moved to Texas, got part-time jobs, parking cars, waiting tables. So, like, we were just all in. And we had some sleepless nights. We cried together, prayed together. And we were just like, we cannot move back home, because we told everybody what we're going to do, not what we're trying to do. And there's a quote I heard from a friend one time, and he said, I'd rather hear 1,000 no's than 1 I told you so. And we just did not want to hear anybody say, see, I told you that wouldn't work. So the fact that we had no options was really in our favor. And I would, I recommend that.
That is awesome. Now, you mentioned your mentor, so I'm assuming you went further upline. Your mom sponsored you.
Yeah, and she was great too. I mean, she had a lot of entrepreneurial experience, business, but not network marketing experience. And so our mentor was actually a friend of the family's, you know, which was one of the, sometimes there's people that you, that have credibility that if they get involved in something, it's got to be the real deal. And that was this lady, that was her. And she's a top income earner in the company. She's written a couple books. She's just a phenomenal leader. And so we look to her, but we've also had so many other mentors. You know, as seasons change, you just raise your hand. They don't always seek you out. You have to seek them out. And then today we have a lot of mentors I've never even met. I mean, they mentor us through podcasts, through YouTube, people like you. You know, just the fact that you're putting out this content free and available to everybody. Like, the information is there. You just have to put yourself in front of the information. So there's really no excuses. Like, if you're like, well, my upline's not active, they're not calling me back. Like, you know, it's your business, not theirs. So we have to claim responsibility for our own success.
Absolutely. Awesome. Okay. So now let's talk about the book. What, where did that come from? And the name and everything. It's awesome. Don't be that guy in network marketing. And it's your guide to network marketing edit kit, 21 common mistakes that will label you as that guy. So tell us a little bit about that and, you know, how that came to be.
Yeah, definitely. So funny story is that our book actually came about by accident. And so several months ago, it was during the summer when the idea was actually birthed, we were wanting to do some online branding ourselves. And we thought of doing a short ebook for our free gift. And so basically we tried to think of, you know, do we want to do seven deadly sins or no, let's go ahead and just brainstorm some of the mistakes that we made and teach people how to avoid them, because we had come into network marketing super new. We didn't have any leadership experience, no business experience, hardly any people skills. And we made a lot of mistakes, which caused us a lot of rejection. And for me, I'll speak for myself, in the fear of rejection, that really paralyzed me in building our business, because I didn't like that feeling. And what we found was a lot of our rejection came from making these mistakes. And what if we could help people avoid them? Because we all know that the majority of the population doesn't like rejection either, and they have a fear of it, and that would really help. So we just started to compile, and mistake after mistake after mistake, we'd actually be brainstorming while we're taking our daughter out for a walk. And then that night we would just compile on our notes section of our iPhone, you know, a chapter. And then 160 pages later, we have this full-blown book. And if anything, I just want people to get out of this book that you could make mistakes and still make it as long as you don't quit. I think we're just a poster child of that exact concept. And so we wanted it to make it funny. We wanted to make it entertaining, because we didn't want it to be a subject that could drag and be negative. So we wanted to put that twist on it. But yeah, so it's just burst out of, you know, just kind of brainstorming what we've done and what we'd like to see differently that would help people avoid it. And as far as the title goes, that guy is a slang term that gets thrown around a lot, you know, when people are on the golf course and they're doing things wrong. People say, ah, don't be that guy, or someone that's talking in the theater, you know, or checking their phone, that people say, don't be that guy. And I just want to share with everybody on the call, if you're not familiar with the term that guy, from the Urban Dictionary, it's the person everybody loves to hate and never wants to become. And so that's a little bit strong, but really, if we look down at these chapters and these mistakes, it's really those mistakes that turn off people, and it causes people to avoid wanting to be in this wonderful profession of direct sales and network marketing.
Well, I love, in the very first chapter, you have a statement in there that you became students of true professionals in network marketing and other subjects. Tell us what that means. What does it mean to become a student of true professionals? Because I think that will help a lot of people if they really can grasp that.
Yeah, I think it just is having a coachable spirit. You know, becoming a student again just means becoming a good listener. You know, sometimes we're programmed through school or through corporate America or through our parents to think and act a certain way, and it's easy to think that you know it all. And even if you are a seasoned professional, you're a doctor making, you know, multiple six figures a year, and you come into network marketing, that doesn't mean that you know beans. I mean, you got to start over, be a kid again. I sometimes think that we could train a five-year-old how to do this business much easier than we could train a 35 or a 50-year-old, because it's just trying to change their thinking. And so, becoming a student of professionals that have gone before you means you're intentionally learning every day. You're intentionally putting the information in front of you every day. Because there was we used to go to a training with our number one income earner for about a year. He would drive up from about 3-hour drive to where we lived, a whole group of people. And he would train on just simple fundamentals, the same stuff every weekend. And we're like, all right, we got it. We heard that last weekend. But the problem was, is we didn't have it, because we'd go out and we'd do it our own way. Even though we knew what to do, we're like, well, it's got to be more complicated. He's leaving something out. And so, here's one of the biggest revelations we ever had in network marketing, is it's really all about getting people just to look and not trying to convince them to join. And he would train on that week after week after week, yet we would go out and we would try to pitch people a business rather than just trying to show them what we're doing. And so, it took a year of the same information just for us to become a professional in that. And we're still figuring it out. So at the end of the day, stop yeah-butting your mentor and just listen and implement. And, if you're listening to people that aren't where you want to be, stop taking their advice. Start taking your advice from people that you'd be willing to trade places with. Not marriages and things like that, but just, the financial state. And, that could serve you really, really well.
I want to dovetail on that, Jackie. I think one of the biggest mistakes that's most common and easiest to follow, because it's so prevalent and it's, so visual for all of us, is the social media spammer. So, for example, when we got Facebook, we got on Facebook pretty late and we already had our business. I just saw a lot of people posting commercial-like posts on Facebook. And so I automatically thought, wow, what a great way to build my business. All I have to do is post some stuff. People are going to call me. I don't have to call them. Win-win, right? So I started really doing a lot of them, and it turned a lot of people off. I had some people unfriend me, and they actually told me about it. But, it's just one of those things where you have to be a student, and the social media spammer is one of those that could really, it's a hidden pitfall that people, if they're not students and they're not intentionally learning, then they just don't know not to do that. And so I actually really liked your podcast about the Facebook Five, and that's, pretty much social media etiquette and how to do it right. And so if people are intentionally putting themselves in a manner of constantly learning, they're going to avoid the mistakes rather than just thinking, well, this seems easy. This is really simple, which is a benefit of network marketing and direct sales. It's a simple business, but, and they just try and go and do it their way. They're going to end up turning off some people because it's been modeled. And that's why it's important to be a student.
Yeah, I love that. Of course, that's, I'm a social media lover, so I love that chapter. And we will definitely circle back around to that, because, it's one of the ones I definitely have highlighted, because it's so important that people really understand how not to blow it with their friends, especially when they first get involved, especially then. And you can blow it so easily, or you can so easily do a nice job if you just know what you're going to do. So we will definitely circle back to that. But there's something else you have in there about, I believe to be successful, you must live your life unoffended and unashamed. And I love that. Say more about that, because, of course, fear and worrying about what people think and all that, that's a big obstacle for people to overcome. And I thought that was really a great sentence.
Yeah, that's probably the most quoted line in the whole book that we keep hearing over and over and over and over again. And there's a quote that has really stuck with me, and that's, if you live by the praise of people, you'll die by their criticism too. And we see a lot of people in this industry trying to gain their identity from the business. Michelle and I are Christians. We love Jesus, and we know our identity of sons and daughters, and we don't get our identity from the applause of people. It's okay to honor people and uplift them, but if you're easily offended by people, then you're going to stop taking risks. You're going to stop putting yourself out there, and, you know, you are created for more. And so there's a reason why there's such a small percentage of people that really make it. It's because they're able to tune out the distractions. They're able to not be offended by people, and they're able to extend grace. You know, in this business, we need to learn how to build bridges, not burn them. And if you're burning bridges and you don't have those people to circle back to, you know, they're going to remember how they were treated. And just being able to live unashamed of who you are, what you believe. You know, Michelle and I, we don't apologize for what we believe. We don't preach at people either, but we know what we know, and we just love people no matter if they're on the same page with us. We're not unashamed of being in network marketing, the profession. We don't try to skirt around it when people ask us what we do. We just say, hey, we're network marketing professionals. Are you familiar with the industry? And we find that when we say it confidently, not arrogantly, but just confidently, people, we don't get as much of the pyramid and, oh, one of those things, because, you know, their unbelief isn't going to affect our belief, if that makes sense. And so it's really just about being proud of who you are, knowing who you are and whose you are. And, man, we get fired up the most about that topic because we believe, Michelle and I believe, one of our missions is to help people unlock their potential. There's a lot of people held back by fear, and they don't even know why. But if we can show them that, you know, they can build a business without being stabbed or shot. I don't think anybody has ever been, you know, murdered because they were prospecting somebody. Like, there's nothing to be afraid of. We can turn this world upside down, and we can help people, you know, build a powerful, powerful income that will affect generations to come. So I think Michelle has a few comments too.
Yeah. So just to, I want to kind of share a little bit of my story, because I came from anxiety. I used to have anxiety attacks and just a lot of fear that held me back in building our business. And we had nowhere else to go, so I had to really try and figure out how to get over that. And I just found that when I was able to extend grace and be unoffended, because, you know, one time I was a part of a Toastmasters, and it was at a scientific company, and we're in this elevator going up to the meeting room, and one of the gentlemen, super smart guy, very successful, I remember him turning to me and asked what I did for a living, and I told him I'm a network marketing professional, and he turned and said, oh, you're one of those. And I was fairly new in really finding myself and being proud of being in network marketing. And it crushed me that day. And it really took me out for several days, probably even close to a week, where I was fearful in bringing it up. And I started to find that when I wouldn't take that on and I wouldn't take it personally, it wouldn't affect me that I would stop and not introduce someone to my business. So that's why being unoffended is so important, because if you just let the ignorant, you know, ignorance isn't a bad term. You know, some people just don't understand network marketing. They have preconceived notions, and maybe they had a run-in with someone that didn't do it professionally in the past, so they bring that to everybody. But it's not something that you should be offended and take on personally. It's just that they don't know what they don't know. And if you don't take the stance of a defensive tackler, which is another chapter where we say, what do you mean pyramid, you know, and you start to defend to the death, and that actually closes people off rather than open up a dialogue to having them share why they think the way they think and allowing you to share the truth about it. So it's really important, because I think when we're unoffended, it just opens up the door to having that sort of dialogue that's really important.
Very well said, and it kind of leads me to my next question and topic, which is your chapter on the lack listener. And you talk about connecting being the ability to identify with people and relate to them in a way that increases your influence with them. And I think, you know, what you just shared kind of segues into that. So tell us a little bit about that thought and how to become good at connecting and building rapport with people.
I think the best term that I've heard to sum this up is to be interested, not interesting. Because when you're interested in others and less focused on making yourself interesting and highlighting all the great things about you, we already know everybody's favorite topic is themselves, you know. And so you have to intentionally be like, okay, I want to be a good listener. I want to find out more about them. What makes them tick? And you can find the most shy, docile people that keep to themselves. If you trigger a passion of theirs, they will light up and they will open up. And all of a sudden, you are their new best friend. And so it really takes intentionality. I think even mirroring, we don't change who we are, but just mirroring their energy or their style. Because sometimes we can get a little excited, and if we got somebody that's just really reserved, we might scare them. So just learning how to ask good questions. And sometimes when they answer a question, even repeating things back to them, because how they answered it and how we assumed it may be different than what they really mean. So I think to sum it all up, just learn how to be interested than interesting. And learn how to ask good questions. Michelle?
I think also being a great listener helps you, for lack of a better word, prospect other people. Because when you take a stance of, okay, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to add value. I'm just going to go out and encourage people. Instead of going out to try and get a phone number out in the cold market, you know, we had a really big turn of mindset where in the past we would say, okay, we got to go prospect, so let's go out and get some numbers. And our whole stance was more of like, let me tell you about what I have, and it would, you know, scare people off, right? Instead of going out to just add value and ask people questions, you know, do you like your job? Are you happy where you're at? You're super talented and you have a great personality. You must love working here. And it opens up a chance for them to really share what they're feeling inside. And when people share, you start to get nuggets where you figure out a need and your business, your product or service could fill that need. And it's just such a more smooth segue to introducing your business. Maybe not right then and there. A lot of times, maybe if you build rapport, you know, and you take it to Facebook and you're building that relationship from there, then you don't actually feel like a salesperson, which I think is a big issue for people because they don't want to feel like a salesperson. Well, if you intently listen and your mindset and stance is to just give people value and just to help people solve their problems, you feel like less of a salesman.
Yeah, and that's so true. Oh, my gosh. You know, we can spend hours on that, selling people and overselling and that kind of thing. So, you know, the rapport building and making that connection is a big part of it. But then, of course, when we get to the point of sharing the opportunity, a lot of people have the tendency, and most of us do in the beginning, to go on and on and on and become the motor mouth, as you mentioned. So how do we not do that? How do we use tools? What's the proper way to be the messenger, not the message?
So the best thing that comes to mind is just not collapsing the invitation with the presentation. One of the ways that when Michelle, let's just say it's cold market, if we're out and about, because I think that's kind of the topic that we're on, is we don't give out business cards. We don't give out any information. We really, like what Michelle tries to do, is find out what makes them tick. So, for example, recently we had a server who had a young daughter. And we shared stories about us being able to be a stay-at-home parent as well. We have a daughter. That resonated. That created that common ground. And I just said, listen, you know, we're expanding a team. I think you would be phenomenal. I don't know if it's for you, but let me get your information, and I'll follow up with you this week. And so he didn't even know that what we sold, the industry, the company. All he knew is that we had a daughter, he had a daughter, we were home with ours, and he wasn't home with his, and he was interested. And so we never give out our card because we never put control of our business in their hands. We always want their information. Plus, if you have a card, it's kind of a crutch. It's too easy to give it to them. So instead, we don't have a card. And sometimes when people will ask us, we just say, well, I don't have a card. You know, write down your information, and I'll give you a call. But here's the deal. As I'm really busy, if you don't call me back, you're probably not going to hear from me again because I only work with those that are hungry and I'm really, really busy. And so they'll be like, I'm hungry. I want to learn more. And so I'm just qualifying even more who I'm looking for that I'm not going to follow up and call you a bunch of times. Obviously, it can change depending on who the prospect is, and we just kind of use our gut with that. So not becoming the motor mouth is just not using anything, any elements of your presentation. We use a video every time. We used to explain too much. We used to do the PowerPoints even on our one-on-one presentations. But now we use the video because when we put prospects through our system, which most companies have some type of a similar system, you know, you get them interested, they look, and they seem some kind of a tool, and then they validate, you get questions answered. And once I put them through the system, I walk them back through and I say, you remember when I did this? This is why I did it. So you got to remember, however you're talking to people, however you're putting them through the system, they're being trained at the same time. And if you're putting them through one way and trying to train them a different way, this is a monkey see, monkey do. You're working, you know, you're doing yourself a you're not doing yourself any favors. So just don't collapse the two. Use the tools. Don't be a tool. Get their information. Don't give them yours. I had a UPS guy one time at our house. He said, well, I try to get it, you know, get his information. Well, just give me a card. And I just told him, I said, that's usually a sign I'll never hear from you again. I just joked around with him because 8 years later, I'm still waiting for a phone call of when I gave somebody my card. I mean, maybe you can speak on that too, Jackie. That just hasn't been our experience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny. I just was working with a new team member of my own, too, who's brand new in the profession and working with me. And we've actually been friends since fourth grade. And, you know, that kind of lends itself to, if you do social media right, it's amazing who you'll sponsor into your business. But same thing. Like, she had connected with someone on Facebook who really wanted to know more about the business, and she wanted to do a Facebook chat. And we have a little three-minute intro video, too, that just does a good job of identifying interests. And, you know, then take them to the next step. And this gal was not, you know, she was like, well, I don't really have time to watch a video, but she wanted to do Facebook chat. And I just kept telling my gal, it's like, she's not right. The timing's not right. Mm-hmm. Do not let her engage you into this, you know, back and forth. And, you know, mm-hmm. Same thing. It's like, you don't have 3 minutes? You're sitting on Facebook anyway. You don't have 3 minutes to click that little video? So, yeah, I think it's so true. It's a great way to qualify or disqualify people, and there is nothing wrong with disqualifying people.
Yeah, nothing wrong with taking it away because it's so tempting to go, well, they don't have the time, so I'll just give it to them anyway because, you know, I'll just have that chat with them anyway because just maybe, no, it's a losing battle. Like, stand your ground, know what works. I mean, we still make mistakes. Like, 8 years later, we're like, we knew better. Why did we fall for that? Like, why, you know, we just got to stick to our guns. So we still screw up, but. Hey, just go, you know, go to the next one.
I do want to add on the topic of the takeaway because I think, you know, when you meet people and you don't necessarily have that relationship, in the past we really found ourselves feeling like we were chasing people down, you know, and they were avoiding our calls. And so we implemented kind of, we call it the last chance call where we're like, okay, I understand this probably isn't for you. It's probably not right timing. So if I don't hear back from you, I'm just going to assume that you're not interested and best of luck to you. And just from that voicemail, we've had so many people return our call. No, I've just been busy. I really am interested. And they were urgent to actually get the information. And I think it's just a shift in posture because so many people out there feel like they're always being chased down. But when they meet someone with the posture of, I don't need you, but I have something that could help you with the problem that you just explained to me, and not that neediness, you know, that scares people away, I think that more pulls people towards you and it builds their curiosity.
Yeah, neediness is not attractive, but being part of the in club is, and who doesn't want to be part of the in club?
Right.
All right, so some fun, juicy stuff. Hopefully you have learned a little from the first segment. This is part one of a three-part series with Adam and Michelle Carey, authors of the book Don't Be That Guy in Network Marketing. You can pick it up again over at jackyelmer.com/that guy. And go to the show notes, jackyelmer.com/244, for more of the details and to take some further notes. But yeah, maybe you saw yourself in a few of those, or maybe you saw somebody else. Whatever the case, I hope that it's been a good bit of learning for you. And again, you want to jump back on part two and part three coming up here and see what else, what other great nuggets Adam and Michelle have to share from their outstanding book, Don't Be That Guy in Network Marketing. As always, I love to hear where you are when you listen. Send me a tweet at Jackie Almer. If you're looking for coaching, training on social media, mindset, or those type things, you can go to streetsmartwealth.com/coach. I would love to hear from you. I'd love to have a complimentary 15-minute session to see if we might be a fit to help you get over whatever hump it is that's holding you back. So that's it. Until next time, remember this: hesitation never cashed a check. Good luck to you and your business. And don't be that guy or that gal in network marketing. If you would like even more tips and training, I have a free gift for you over at profitinyourpjsnow.com, my 25 best lead sources online, how I've sponsored nearly 2,000 people into my business all online. You'll get my nuts and bolts on exactly how I build my business online and how I've created a lifestyle business with my laptop and internet. You can also get more at my blog, jackiealmer.com, and be sure to connect with me on my Facebook page, facebook.com/streetsmartwealth, and on Twitter, @JackieElmer. And I'll see you on the next show. Have a great day.